There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We're back doing our national previews today. We are previewing the ACC and the American Athletic Conference. We are sure to mix those two up, ACC and AAC. So we'll go through, just like we did with Pac-12 and Big 12, go over the divisional picks, which coach we think is on the hot seat, venue we'd like to visit, best game, most intriguing program or most interesting program, and program on the rise for each of these two conferences. And TJ Inman, our co-host, is joining us. I'm your co-host, Sammy Jacobs, and let's get down to business. TJ, how are you?
I'm doing great, Sammy. Doing very, very well. IU fans, I think, have a lot to be happy about today. And I'm excited to preview another pair of conferences here. As you mentioned, it's ACC and AAC. We'll do our best not to get those two names screwed up. But give us a little bit of slack. We'll do it a couple times, but hopefully not too bad.
Definitely. I think we put the over-under at 5.5. And if you're a betting person, get your bets in before the show starts. So here we go. Let's start with the ACC and go with your divisional picks.
You know, this conference, much like the Big Ten, I think that there is a lot of comparison with the Big Ten. You have kind of one division that's more or less loaded with a pair of national title contenders, and possibly three national title contenders. Probably not, but a pair of national title contenders in Florida State and Clemson, and then in the Atlantic Division. Then you've got the Coastal, which is, some very solid programs, some very good programs, but certainly no one that jumps out at you this year as a college football playoff contender, even in their wildest dreams for this coming season. But for my chance, I'm going to go with the Atlantic. I go Florida State. And then for the Coastal, I'm going Virginia Tech. And I'll talk a little bit more about the Hokies later on. But Florida State, for me, DeAndre Francois, the guy I was very impressed with last season. I think he's a high-caliber player. Their offense doesn't have any outright superstars yet, but they do have some very very good players and some potential superstars. Mainly their backfield triumvirate of DeAndre Francois, Jacques Patrick, who's a junior that hasn't really had a chance to sign yet, and then Cam Akers, who everything that I've read and seen about him indicates he's going to be a superstar the moment that he takes the field in their first game against Alabama. So I'm really excited to watch him play, and I think Florida State's going to have a pretty balanced offense with Francois in that running attack, and then a very talented defense with quite a bit returning from a group that sort of fell apart with injuries last year. But I'll go Florida's barely beaten out Miami.
Yeah, Florida State's a no-brainer pick. Clemson loses a lot, but that game is up at Clemson. But anyway, yep. You got to go with Florida State with the returning quarterback and all the talent they have. In the Coastal, I went with Miami. Miami gets Virginia Tech at home. This is the matchup that when the ACC plucked Miami and Boston College and all those other teams out of the Big East, around 2000 or so, this is the matchup they were thinking of, is Miami and Florida State. It will be a bookend game if both of those teams make the ACC title game. It's their ACC opener as well. So it would be a rematch game, but I think Miami has a tremendous defense. If they could figure out the quarterback position, they should get through the Coastal pretty well. a team that even goes 5-3 in that Coastal Division should win. And then just the upper hand playing at home, even though Miami doesn't really have, you know, that home field advantage playing in what I think is called Dolphin Stadium. That name changes every other year, it seems. They should win that game. And then down Florida State in the ACC championship game. All right, let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum and go coach on the hot seat.
Well, it's really tough because I'm not sure there is one. The ACC's had quite a bit of turnover. You could say there's a couple of coaches that are another year away from the hot seat. If things don't go well this year, then they'll really be on it. Dino Babers, Steve Adazio at Boston College. If I had to pick one, I'd say Steve Adazio because he's been there longer, and they just can't figure out the offensive side of the ball on a consistent basis. It's more often than not, it's pretty ugly to watch. So I'll go with Adazio at Boston College. I don't think he's on the verge of being fired, but I think a season them miss a bowl game, and they are in the loaded Atlantic Division, as is Syracuse. But a season that sees them struggle and maybe win only 4 or 5 games could have him very much on the hot seat heading into 2018. So I'll go with Adazio.
Yeah, that's a good pick as well. You know, there are a couple coaches who were on the hot seat last year, kind of saved their job by going to a bowl game. And one of those guys is Dave Dorian, and he can work his way back onto the hot seat. But NC State should have a talented roster and finish in the middle of the pack in that Atlantic Division. But I think Adazio is a solid pick for that. Boston College just hasn't been able to make any noise in the ACC since Matt Ryan was there. We'll see what they do. It's kind of a weird fit for them in the ACC in terms of you're way north. You're not really – I mean, Boston's on the Atlantic, but it's a different brand of football than the rest of the ACC. So, you know, Boston College, they got into a bowl game last year, but they weren't that good. The last few years, that 3-9 season in 2015 was a disaster. You can't have a 3-9 season. They bounce back. Adazio, it looks like he's plateaued at 7-6 since he's been there. And then this year's schedule is not any easier. You have to go to Northern Illinois on a Friday night, and that's a tough place to play. We've seen ACC teams go down in Northern Illinois before. Then you have Wake Forest, a bowl team from a year ago, Notre Dame at Clemson, Central Michigan at home, Virginia Tech at Louisville, at Virginia and Florida State, and their bye week comes November 4th before ending the season with NC State, Connecticut, which I think is at Fenway Park, and then at Syracuse. Yeah. So if you could survive that first two-thirds of the schedule or first three-fourths of the schedule, you could get into November. You're going to need at least two wins or maybe even to win out in November to make a bowl game. So that just does not set up well for Boston College to make it to a bowl game. And I think, you know, he might have bought himself some time last year, but that 3-9 season in 2015 did him no favors. It's his fifth year here at Boston College. Losing record, he's 1-2 in bowls, not a great home record at 14-12, and he's only 10-22 in conference, and he is 1-8 versus top 10 teams, and that top 10 win came against USC in 2014. Steve Adazio is while he might not be in the hot seat for the sake of our questions, he's the guy on the hottest seat in the ACC right now. All right, let's move down to venue you'd like to visit. Everybody should have the same venue.
Well, yeah, it was a tiny bit of a tough choice for me for one reason. Virginia Tech, I would love to see what I think is one of the cooler pregame traditions in college football, and that's, you know, the playing of Enter Sandman as the Hokies take the field, particularly at a night game there in Lane Stadium. I think that'd be really cool. But I'm going to go with Clemson. You know, that run down Howard's Rock, you know, just a sea of orange with a little purple mixed in there. I've seen the stadium. I have not been inside of it, but it's set in a, you know, it's a cool campus. And then Clemson, for me, I love Myrtle Beach, love South Carolina. So, you know, you can make a little 3 or 4 day trip out of it and get some time at the beach as well. So I'll go with Clemson, and I would love to kind of stand. I don't sit there. I'd love to kind of stand at the hill right by Howard's Rock and experience that side of things. That'd be a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, I have to go Clemson as well. I wish they still had the old Orange Bowl left. It was one of those iconic stadiums that you wanted to go to. They had a cool entrance as well. But Clemson, it's hands down the place to be in the ACC. You have the run down Howard's Rock. The students, after the team runs down, rushes towards the field to get the best spots. The place is nicknamed Death Valley for a reason. The place is always jumping, and there's no place I'd rather be in the ACC on a Saturday night than Clemson. Let's go best game. I believe we'll have the same one as this. I went Clemson and Florida State. The winner of this matchup has gone on to win their division for what seems like forever. But this game is at Clemson, and it's a real test for Florida State going up there to Death Valley. And the winner of that should have control of the Atlantic Division.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the very – clear choice. I don't know what number two would even be. You look at it, and I think it's very possible that it's a college football playoff elimination game. I mean, I know that people want, you know, some people, and that's a debate for another day, would like to see the playoff expand to 8 teams. I'm going to love college football regardless of how many teams are in the playoffs, so I don't get too worked up about it. But if you want an 8-team playoff, well, here's a quarterfinal right here, very possibly. Florida State at Clemson, November 11th. It's late in the season. Florida State after that has Delaware State. Then they got Florida. Then the ACC title game. So it's not a shoe-in that if they beat Clemson, they're in. But let's say they lose to Alabama on the opening night of the season. If they then head to Clemson and lose, that's 2 losses, and I don't see how they'd get into the playoffs given the rest of their schedule. There just wouldn't be another really high-quality win on there. Possibly looking at 11-1, and if they can beat Clemson, then maybe an ACC title game win that could put them at 12-1, and there's no way they'd be left out of the playoffs in that scenario. So it's going to be a huge game for both teams. It's turned into a real rivalry as both of these programs continue to be in the top 5-10 nationally. And they're not slowing down in recruiting, so that's not going to stop as long as those two coaches are there. That's the marquee game in the ACC, and it's one of the marquee games of the regular season.
Definitely. It used to be the Bowden Bowl. It is no longer the Bowden Bowl, but it is still the game to watch in the ACC. I think second would probably be Louisville at Florida State, Lamar Jackson. They just absolutely destroyed Florida State last year. It's a revenge game for the Seminoles.
Yeah.
But anytime you could watch Lamar Jackson as well, it could be outstanding. Most interesting program?
Clemson and Florida State are both interesting because of their elite status. Louisville is interesting because of Lamar Jackson. But really, as a program, I'm not going to gain any fans here south of our state, but I don't really care about anything that occurs in Kentucky. And I got to be honest, I think Louisville is one of the more sleazy athletic programs that's out there for a variety of very obvious reasons. So beyond Lamar Jackson, I don't really care to watch them. In truth, I don't really find any of the ACC teams all that legitimately interesting, but I really, for whatever reason, I've got kind of a thing for Georgia Tech. I like watching them play. I think they're interesting because they've churned out a lot of quality receivers somehow in that offense that, you know, they rarely throw the ball, and when they do, it's usually not very pretty, but they've really turned out a surprising number of good receivers. And then I think that they are pretty interesting because, number one, Paul Johnson is a real crotchety guy that says a lot of pretty funny things. I like watching the triple option and how it works in a power conference. I'm always interested in that. Just the different, completely different style of playing the game versus their opposition. Everybody knows what's coming. It's just a question of whether or not you have the discipline and the athletes to stop it. And if you can't, well, it's going to be a real long day for you. If you can, it's going to be a real long day for Georgia Tech. So it's, you know, I just think it's really interesting that the complete polar opposite that they are to the rest of the league and how they've, you know, been mostly, I'd say, successful during Paul Johnson's tenure. But a question is, can he get back to being pretty successful as opposed to just mediocre? And that's a question I don't know an answer to. And I think another year of 6-6 or 7-5, Georgia Tech fans might start to get antsy about whether or not that can happen.
Yeah, and I'm feeling this is not the last time we'll hear from you on the option today.
No.
We'll see. We do have Navy coming up in the AAC. My most interesting program is Miami. It's a program that area is loaded with talent. And the trick with Miami, it's a private school, it's a smaller school. They've kind of de-emphasized football a little bit. They don't play on campus. They play at Dolphin Stadium. The crowds we saw under Randy Shannon a couple years ago, there was like 400 people there for some games and all that stuff. But it's an interesting program because we've seen what Miami could be. We've seen the U.
Yeah.
And you know, the interesting part is, can they get back there? Can they do it the right way and get back there and compete with Florida State and Florida for those the top in-state recruits? And then you have USF is up and coming, and UCF, two other teams we'll talk about later in the show, who could step in and take some recruits as well from that area. So can Miami become the U again? And then let's go program on the rise.
Well, you know, Florida State and Clemson aren't going anywhere, so it's really about who in that other division can rise up and be a legitimate challenger. I don't know if Virginia Tech can get to that level, but I think they can get pretty close under Justin Fuente. He's a tremendous coach. He's proven that already. And I really like the way the Virginia Tech is recruiting if I'm a Hokie fan. I think that they're going to be, like I said, I picked them to win the division. They do have a question to solve it, or a problem to solve at quarterback. Not really a proven option there. But I like the rest of their roster. And I think that if Josh Jackson, who is a freshman, if he can step up and be a pretty quality quarterback that in time develops into a star, which he's got the pedigree to do so, then I think you'll see Virginia Tech to rival, maybe turn into the, if you will, the Wisconsin of their division and be kind of that consistent force on the other side. It's not quite a national title contender, but routinely they're in the top 15 to be a challenge every time you go up against them for either Florida State or Clemson. And make things just a little bit more balanced in that conference.
Yeah, I'll go Virginia Tech as well. It's Justin Fuente is a heck of a coach. They'll recruit that DMV area well. They're the best program in that area right now, even fighting off Maryland and UVA and some other schools coming in to poach that area. But there's no reason that they – especially in that coastal division where you can move up and down almost at will, where it should take Virginia Tech too much to get back to where they were under Frank Beamer. you know, in the 2000s and mid-2000s and stuff like that. But, you know, yeah. Virginia Tech
gonna,
is a safe bet with that. All right, best uniform.
They're going to have a nasty defense this year, too, I think. When I look at their personnel, I think they're going to have a pretty nasty defense that should be interesting to see them. And they do not they don't draw either Florida State or Clemson, or I'm sorry, they don't draw Florida State. They do draw Clemson, but it is at home. So schedule-wise, they got a pretty favorable draw as far as it goes. They could win 10 games this year and kind of accelerate their rebuilding, if you will. Not that they had a huge project, but I think that they're well-positioned, if you will. Them and Miami are pretty well-positioned to battle it out for years in the Coastal. But best uniforms – you know, North Carolina's are cool. That's just, it's a good color, clean color combination, and the Argyle touches they've added recently are nice. And then you've got, you know, old school script Pittsburgh uniforms. I think those are really good. I don't like their darker navy blue, but I think their lighter blue with their lighter yellow as opposed to their navy and gold. I think if they went with the lighter blue and lighter yellow all the time, I'd say Pitt, but they don't. So I'm a sucker for orange, as I've said before, so I'll go with Clemson as long as they don't go with their all-purple ones. I think the all-purple ones are a bit much. I'm fine with purple. I like purple, but all-purple is a bit much. So Clemson, I think that they've got pretty clean, good look. And if you go with orange with me, you're good. Syracuse, you screwed up by going with all gray. I don't know why they decided to go away from orange and navy and went with just drab gray uniforms. But, yep, Clemson's my pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with North Carolina. I just love that Carolina blue. They mix it well with the black. They have a good choice of uniforms, a good variety of uniforms, and there's just something about that Argyle and Carolina blue that I really, really like. So I'm going to go North Carolina. Let's go to the AAC. Who do you have in your championship game?
Well, I'm going to spoil some things and say that I really, really like South Florida this year. Love the Bulls and Quentin Flowers. I've got them winning the East, and I have Memphis winning the West. That was a tough pick for me. Riley Ferguson's a very good quarterback, bit inconsistent. They have good receivers that are among the tops of the conference. Not the best group, but they're good. They've got explosive offense, but really the reason I chose Memphis is because I have a lot of faith in Mike Norvell. I think he's proven to be a guy that's not much longer. He's from a coaching family, and I think he's going to be at a power conference program if he chooses. I mean, the AAC, they deal with turnover in coaching all the time. But eventually, somebody's going to choose to stay. Besides Kendi and Matalolo, somebody's going to choose to stay at an AAC program and make it a power, at least on their level. Maybe it's Mike Norvell. Who knows? Almost went with Navy, but they only returned 10 starters, and Memphis does not have to play South Florida. So I will go with South Florida in the East, Memphis in the West.
I went on Memphis and Houston. It's tough. Houston's going to be breaking in a new coach under Major Applewhite. I do think USF is the clear favorite in the other division. Charlie Strong has inherited that. I think, and you know, you're going to have USF should win that East division by a sizable matter. Quentin Flowers, all AAC. There's number one. Mess up with the day. Quentin Flowers was tremendous last year for South Florida. He's back. And then, you know, just I'm taking Memphis because they have their quarterback returning. Houston is going to bring in Kyle Allen, who was at Texas A&M. He had to sit out last year. They there were some holes that were poked into that program last year as they ended the year losing their final two games. Then they lost at SMU and at Navy as well. They finished with four losses on a team that was expected to go 12-0 or 13-0 and make a potential run at a New Year's Six game, maybe even a playoff game, especially after the 10-point win over Oklahoma. But yeah, you know, I think there are too many holes in Houston. They do have to go, or they do get Memphis at home though, and that's big. The top teams in that West division, they get Navy at home, they get Memphis at home, and then they have to go to South Florida. While Memphis does miss South Florida, so it's Memphis's schedule is a little bit easier for them to take control of that AAC West division. Which I don't know why Navy's in the AAC West. They're about as east as you could get in the AAC.
Well, nothing geographically about the AAC makes sense except for the name, the American, because it spans almost the entire freaking continent. So
that is true.
Good luck figuring out why they have done things the way they have. But I mean, at least there's some semblance of balance, unlike some conferences we know and love.
Yep. There is some balance. Let's go to Coach on the Hot Seat. I believe we have the same one.
Yeah, you know, again, just like the ACC, there is there's been so much turnover in this conference. There was a stat circulating, and I don't know, you know, where it originated, so I apologize for not being able to give credit. The first time that I heard it was on Athlon's podcast, that Kendi Amatalolo has been at Navy longer than every other head coach in his division or in his conference combined. And that's insane, because Kendi Amatalolo is not old. I mean, he's a young guy in terms of coaching that has not been there forever. He's certainly been at Navy for a long time and is established, but that's a crazy stat. So that's a long way of saying there's not really a guy that's on the hot seat just yet, but Carolina, Scotty Montgomery would be my choice. They had a terrible season last year, went 3-9, only won one conference game, and that was against UConn, who fired their coach, Bob Diaco, and they were just a disaster on offense. So beating them is hardly an accomplishment. Their other two wins were Western Carolina and a stunner against NC State, so it looked like they'd have a decent season, but things fell apart. And then this year, you know, they've got at West Virginia, they've got Virginia Tech, they've got South Florida, Temple, at Central Florida, BYU, at Houston. So by October 28th, I only see one win on the schedule, and that's the opener against James Madison. I mean, no, you could be looking at a 1-7 start that, you know, has people looking around saying, well, what are we paying for here? You know, Scotty Montgomery's a young guy. He's unproven. And things get off to a rocky start, totally fall apart. Maybe they look to make a change after just two seasons.
Yeah, I picked Scotty Montgomery, too. East Carolina has been a program that has been a pain in the butt for many of the Power 5 schools around the Carolinas.
Yeah.
They always upset somebody every year, it seems. They could go winless. James Madison did win the FCS championship last year, and they're a good FCS, great FCS team that they are expected to go deep in their playoffs again this year. So, you know, that when your first year is 3-9, your leash is very, very short, especially in a place like East Carolina, who's used to being a giant killer and needs to be back there. And if they, you know, their Athlon's projecting them at 3-9 again, that it's 6-18 is just, it's not good. You have to show some improvement. Their schedule is super tough. He could be a guy who I know people want to, I know athletic departments like to give coaches 3 years, but back-to-back three-win seasons you're right. You got to say, hey, what are we paying for here? And see if you could go get somebody else. How about venue?
Very cool logo, though, for the Pirates.
It is. If we had a best logo, I would have picked the East Carolina.
Yeah, that's hard to argue with. Best venue, you said I'd probably be mentioning Navy later, and I'm going to. I'm going to go with Navy as a place that I'd love to see a game. They seat 34,000 people. It's in Annapolis there on the campus of the Naval Academy, the Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. I just think that would be such a unique experience that, I mean, there's no place to go besides the military academies to get that type of experience, and I think it'd be something that I know appreciate, and I know that I'd really have a good time at and have a memorable experience at. I think that'd be the word that I would use in my head, just thinking about what would occur there. I think it'd be memorable going to see a game there with at any service academy, but for the purpose of this category and this conference, I'll go Navy, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. Plus, you know, I've not been to the Maryland or Baltimore area before. Been to D.C., but not kind of that Annapolis, Baltimore area. It looks like a pretty cool place to visit. So I'll go with the Naval Academy.
Yeah, the Naval Academy. I would point out that West Point and Army is a terrific place to watch football too.
Yeah.
One of those traditional places up in the Hudson River Valley. It's gorgeous in the fall, and as a native New Yorker, I will put in my tourism information right there. Go see a college football game at West Point. It'll be fantastic. But I'm gonna go Houston. They have a new gorgeous stadium. I love checking out new stadiums. You can see downtown Houston from it. They're a football-obsessed city. You know the tailgating's going to be pretty good with the barbecue down there. The only issue with Houston is that I would go later in the year, because if you go in August or September, it is going to be muggy and gross, and I'd like to miss that weather. I don't like the muggy and gross weather anyway, but I'd pick Houston. I'd want to see that new stadium. I want to see H-Town take over, and that, you know, maybe going down for a Houston-Memphis game or seeing Houston take on one of those teams from Texas at home would be awesome. Let's go best game.
Well, since I'm so high on South Florida, and I think that they could threaten an unbeaten regular season, and therefore an unbeaten season overall, I don't think that even going unbeaten would get them in the playoffs, but it might, maybe. I just don't think their schedule's strong enough unless they were just totally obliterating everybody. I will go with the regular season finale, South Florida at Central Florida. While I don't think a college football playoff berth will be on the line, because that schedule is just not good enough, unless there's just complete madness elsewhere in the country. Central Florida is a team we'll talk about a little bit more later, but athletes all over the place on that field between those two teams. And I think that South Florida will be playing to either, I think a New Year's Six Bowl is what would be on the line for South Florida. And I think that that is a very realistic goal for them, to get into something like the Fiesta Bowl and get a shot at one of those power conference teams, maybe from the Big 12 or you know, the Pac-12 or the SEC. And so I'm going to go with that. There's a couple of good choices, but it was a tough choice for me, but I'm going to go with that just because of what I think South Florida could be playing for and how many athletes and NFL-caliber players will be on that field on November 24th. So it's a Friday contest there, Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, you know, you're right about USF's schedule. You know, their non-conference games are at San Jose State, Stony Brook, who is FCS, at Connecticut, their AAC, sorry, Illinois, and then
that's it.
You know, that's not a playoff building resume. Teams would probably have to have two or three losses in order for them to jump them. But I'm going to go Houston at South Florida. It's a matchup of the two, probably the two heavyweights in the conference. It's a potential championship game preview, and Houston at USF on November 4th. You have two of the better quarterbacks with Kyle Allen for Houston and Quentin Flowers for USF. So there'd be a lot of points, a very entertaining game to put on there in November, early November. Let's go best uniform.
I went with SMU. I think they've got a really clean look. I think they have a classic color combination of red, blue, and then white. I think they utilize those colors pretty well. They've cleaned up the look quite a bit, taken away a lot of the kind of the frills that were on the uniforms in the past, and gotten back to what I think is just a really classic look. I love their logo. I think it's a cool, Mustang. I think it looks nice. And then I really think the boldness of blue and the red is what does it for me. And then I like the three different helmets they have. They have a kind of a flat blue, kind of a glossy red, and then a white. All three of them, again, just very clean, classic looks, and a color combination is hard to do too much wrong with if you just keep it pretty simple. And I think SMU is a Nike school, and as Nike typically does, they keep things fairly simple, which can be described as boring to some, but for the most part, unless they're going over the top, they do a pretty good job, I think. And so I went with the SMU Mustangs. I will say, though, Navy has had a couple of uniforms that just look tremendous, mainly the white helmet once they broke out last season that looked awesome. But in general, I'll go with SMU.
Yeah, and you stole my thunder there a little bit. I know the uniform is everything, but Navy's helmets are the best in the conference, hands down. They had I think they wore the hand-painted ones with the warships on it. They had the white with the anchor, your classic gold one.
Amazing.
The white with the anchor was awesome. And then the ones with the ships were pretty cool, too. And they have the yellow ones. They just have their helmets are tremendous. The blue ones, and then their white uniforms with the blue shoulders that went with those white helmets are awesome. Those are my favorite uniforms in the conference, and those helmets with the ships on them are pretty cool. And anytime you can shout out to one of the service academies, it feels good. Let's go most interesting program.
I think I've pretty much slobbered all over these guys most of the AAC portions, so I'll do it again. South Florida, Quentin Flowers. For those that don't know, he's an incredible player. He had 24 passing touchdowns last year, with only 7 interceptions, and he's also an incredibly dangerous runner as he ran for over 1,500 yards. With 18 touchdowns. So you put those numbers together, you're dealing with the Heisman contender. Again, I don't think he can win it because of that schedule. There's just not that marquee game. But if he puts up ridiculous numbers, who knows? He could be in the mix. I think at the very least he'll get invited to New York if South Florida has the kind of season I think they could. The real reason I think it's an interesting program is Charlie Strong. Everyone, including myself, is pretty confident that he's a really good coach that just wasn't a good fit at Texas. Texas appears to be pretty well stocked to have a nice season this year, and Charlie Strong needs to get some credit for that. I think that he was close to having kind of a breakthrough, viewing that Texas, made a very strong hire, but talking about the fairness of it is pointless. But it's just an interesting position that Charlie Strong is in now. He's got roots in Florida. He's a guy that really connects with that talent. The question for me is Charlie Strong as good of a coach as we all kind of assume that he is? Because you look at Louisville, they've kind of elevated again since he left. And that's not Charlie Strong's fault, and it's not to say that he would have done that while he was there. But, you know, Louisville's kind of gotten even better without him. Texas, he got fired, and now South Florida. So, you know, everybody thinks that he's this home run hire for them. Is he? I don't know. I think it's an assumption that is a good one, but we'll see. Can he take South Florida to a New Year's Six Bowl threat consistently? Can they be kind of that Boise State level of program in the Sunshine State, or will things kind of fall apart once the exceptional Quint Flowers takes a, you know, goes on to some position in the NFL, probably not quarterback, but something. We'll see. I'm just excited to see what kind of season they can have. I think they are the best non-power conference program this season, the best power conference, non-power conference team in the country. And I'm going to predict that they do run the table in the regular season. So that's a prediction from me that they head into their bowl game, which I think is going to be the Fiesta Bowl, but who knows? I've not had to start doing the bowl predictions yet, but I am going to make that kind of bold prediction that nobody cares about for them to be in a New Year's Six Bowl at 13-0.
Awesome. I am going to go the opposite direction of you and go with Cincinnati. Cincinnati is coming off a 4-8 year. They fired their coach. They hired Luke Fickell from Ohio State, who's a tremendous recruiter. He only had that 1 year at Ohio State where he went 6-7. But I'm interested to see what he does recruiting the Midwest. He's a terrific recruiter in the Midwest. Cincinnati has had some staying power. You know, some when they were in the Big East, some thought that, you know, maybe they looked more like a Big Ten team than an AAC team. But can they get back to that level where they're considered among? Maybe they could be a Power 5 team instead of a Group of 5 team. But there's a lot of talent in Ohio, that leads the state. And Cincinnati is south enough to where they could go into Tennessee, go into some of those southern states and start picking players out of there. And Luke Fickell is the guy who has tremendous Midwest connections. And it'll be really intriguing what he does at Cincinnati. You know, they do get a test right off the bat in week two. They have to go to Michigan. And then, you know, we'll see what they do from there. But coming off 4-8 year, they might struggle year one, but that's a program that if they could start recruiting Ohio and get those guys to stay home in Ohio that aren't going to Ohio State, they should be pretty good. Program on the rise. Real quickly, we only have 2 minutes left.
Yeah, Central Florida, led by Scott Frost, otherwise known as the next head coach at Nebraska. He's killing it. I think the Knights are pretty well positioned to win a division title next season if South Florida falls off a little bit. They return quite a bit and have to replace – South Florida will have to replace Flowers plus a lot on defense. So, again, Scott Frost, I think he'll be at Nebraska as their next head coach within the next couple of years. I think pretty highly of him, and I know Nebraska fans do as well. So I think Central Florida, a place where if he stays there, they could start to win, 8, 9, 10 games there consistently with the level of athlete they can get there in Orlando area.
I agree with you on Central Florida. It's another one like USF. They might not be able to be great at the same time, but like you said, USF's time could be coming to a downhill slope, and UCF could be taking off. I wouldn't be surprised if Scott Frost does end up at Nebraska, especially if Nebraska struggles this year, and UCF is pretty good. Anyway, that does it for today's podcast. We'll be back on tomorrow for the rest of the Group of Five and the SEC. So SEC. Tune in tomorrow.
SEC.
SEC might not be the best conference in college football anymore, but that's up for debate. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll get you tomorrow.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.